Hey everyone, I'm Deb and this is Cosmopolitics. Cosmopolitics is a podcast simultaneously uplifting and criticizing popular culture in the U District, Seattle, on our phones, and beyond. Fundamentally, Cosmopolitics is about asking and answering the question of why does culture matter? Happy week four. Hope everything's going well. Welcome to another episode of Cosmopolitics. I'm your host, Deb, and today's episode is going to be a little bit different. I do not have anyone joining me today. It's just going to be me and my lonesome sitting in my room. And so this week's episode is going to be a little different. I'm going to go through it's going to be like maybe 5 minutes or less. We're going to go a little breakdown of some highlights that I have picked out from what's been happening in the last week regarding trends, what's cool, culture, entertainment, you know, the usual, but we're kind of go through a blast, kind of like, you know, a culture style of the wrap up, I guess I'll just say that. And then for the second half, I'm going to talk a little bit more about one of these highlights I chose. We're going to really just dig deeper into it. So, first of all, pretty relevant because I know that this is always trending on Saturday nights. And I have not, honestly, totally watched a ton. I think I've watched about maybe 20 minutes from each of the first couple episodes that have come out so far. But yeah, on Saturday, we had the second episode of Saturday Night Live come out, hosted by Issa Rae. You know, I watched about 20 minutes and I honestly do find it funny. I don't know, a lot of people make fun of me for it because SNL is a little bit borderline neoliberal comedy, I guess. And some of it does maybe make you want to pull your hair out. But I don't know, my comic standards are pretty low. Not to say that they're like low quality, but you know, I just laugh at everything. And I mean, I don't know, I enjoy it. It's not my fault that Ego Wodum, Bowen Yang, and the Trump brothers are actually kind of funny. Anyways, so this coming weekend, Adele is going to be hosting SNL. I don't know if she's ever done that, but that should be interesting. And here is to hoping that she will leave the Bantu knots behind when she hosts. All right, another sort of thing that was trending, I'll say that this was mostly trending on Twitter, where I basically live nowadays. Not just nowadays, it's always been like that. There was this article written about Billie Eilish. It was on BuzzFeed. I'll just start by reading a little quote, a quote from a tweet that the reporter wrote regarding their article. Quote, I wrote about how Billie Eilish walking around in her body isn't bravery and how we have to stop calling women larger than a size zero courageous, end quote. Yeah, I think this is pretty relevant with Billie Eilish, to be honest, because I know that because she's pretty young, when she had turned 18, a lot of people, especially men, kind of felt like it was free game to kind of comment on her body and like make a lot of weird sexual comments, like, oh, she's technically legal, which is also just weird in itself. Like 17, 18, there really just isn't a difference. It's just that apparently one is legal. Anyways, and this sort of affords a broader conversation about the way Hollywood just, and not just Hollywood, but like people in general, people online, people we know, the way we talk about bodies and the way we're always like shaming and sexualizing and just really weird, really shitty. And on the flip side, there's also been a little bit of criticism of the article because the article has gotten pretty good reception. Everyone's like, yes, snaps, you're so right, like, let Billie live her life. But then there has been a little bit of criticism, not necessarily like going off on Billie Eilish, you know, because it's like, yeah, points have been made, but also just the fact that these conversations and the support that she's getting is afforded to her because she is a white woman. Like, let's just be real here. That's true. And this is relevant because this article that was trending, talking, you know, body positivity sort of, and really just wanting for us to stop commenting so much on other people's bodies. These are things that Black women, especially fat Black women, have been saying for years, have been tweeting for years, have been writing about for years. but it's not like they get this same kind of spotlight or amount of attention to be able to say these things and be regarded positively in the like feedback. And again, as with many issues that I'll say this is a gendered issue. So as with many gendered issues, there's just a lack of intersectionality and just something we really should all just keep in mind and work on when we are seeing these things pop up. On a more sort of fun side, it was recently rumored that Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire, the past Spider-Mans, will be joining Tom Holland in the third Spider-Man movie coming up. Cool. Okay. That Spider-Man pointing at each other meme sort of thing. Additionally, to add on to that, it has also been rumored, I think this one is less substantiated, so I don't have the total updates or total grasp, but I at least did read a rumor that apparently Miles Morales from Into the Spider-Verse will also be making an appearance in this third Spider-Man live-action movie in the current Marvel Universe. So I guess this is just Marvel seeing the absolute success and, you know, higher quality of the Into the Spider-Verse movie, and they're trying to do that. I see the setup. That's all I'll say on that. Anyways, the other thing about stuff that was happening on Twitter is that on Sunday there was some more unity. You don't see that a lot anymore. Not too much solidarity across the ranks, but we did see a lot of people united in their hatred for Chris Pratt, of all the actor Chris's. You see a little solidarity sometimes. That is all I will say on that matter, but the last sort of highlight I have is that over a week ago, I'll say, there was an article, Letter to the Editor, published by the New York Times, written by Megan Thee Stallion, and there's a video accompanied by it, and it was titled Why I Speak Up for Black Women, and it was honestly a very powerful piece, and this is sort of what I want to dive into for the bulk of this episode. This is really relevant to be talking about, especially as we're coming up to the election, and as we are currently voting right now, and as November will be coming to a close, and we have much more work to do following that. I kind of just want to dig into the treatment of Black women in this country, of Black people in this country. Let's just get right into this. You know, I don't need to add any, like, some fluffy language first. So I kind of just want to chronologically look at some quotes. I pulled some quotes that are very compelling, powerful, and yeah. So first line, she writes, starting, quote, "In the weeks leading up to the election, Black women are expected once again to deliver victory for Democratic candidates." Yep. Yeah, I mean, if you just look at some stats from the 2016 election, like according to the Pew Research Center, in an article they published using data from voters, size of 3,014, of those 98%. Of the Black women in that sample voted for Clinton. On the flip side, 45% of white women did for Clinton. You know, that's just kind of one example of the way that Black women turn out. Meanwhile, a lot of the rhetoric surrounding everything is always putting the pressure, like, you have to do your part, you know. Meanwhile, it's like, yeah, they are doing their part, you know. Like, well, why not direct your energy towards the white people who literally did not turn out well enough and is the reason why some things are how they are? It's always just this issue of, honestly, being carried by Black women, by being carried by Black people. And so, sort of, yeah, super relevant for Megan Thee Stallion to kind of start the article out this way. In the next part of the article, she talks about the incident where she was shot earlier in the year. So this next quote, quote, "Despite this, and despite the way so many have embraced messages about racial justice this year, Black women are still constantly disrespected and disregarded in so many areas of life," end quote. Yeah, because, yeah, Megan Thee Stallion was shot. And honestly, and people have commented on this, she definitely wasn't shown the love and support that she could have and should have been shown publicly. Like, there is the matter of, like, oh, maybe they were just showing their condolences behind social media and not publicly, but, like, to be honest, it's a little bit of a double standard, because when it comes to men, you know, when it comes to non-Black women, there's just, I don't know, definitely a double standard in the way that we're willing to publicly praise or publicly show support for certain issues. I mean, you can parallel this with Breonna Taylor. Breonna Taylor was murdered in her sleep. I remember there was a period of time when everyone was, I think there was, at first there was a short period of time when everyone was like, yeah, Breonna Taylor, justice for Breonna Taylor. And then there was a little bit of a quiet. And then there was a spike in the way people were talking about her again, because people were like, protect Black women, like, she still hasn't seen justice, you know? And recently, yeah, she hasn't, especially with the case in Louisville. And it's kind of just, the reason why I bring this up is with a parallel with a lot of the posting about Breonna Taylor was memeing. There was a lot of just posting about Breonna Taylor on a totally, like, unrelated post or unrelated, like, whatsoever is getting a photo taken of, sort of for the clout. So that's sort of the other way that you just see Black women disrespected. And, you know, you see that with Megan Thee Stallion when she confirms that she was shot by Tory Lanez. A lot of the public response, especially from celebrities, wasn't necessarily like, OMG, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, like, etc., etc. Like, some of it, honestly and very sadly, was just like, okay, I want to hear his side though. Are you sure? It was just a lot of second guessing, and it just shows, it just reminds me a lot of the way that people react to women saying they got sexually assaulted. Like, oh, I mean, what were you wearing? What did you do? You know, it's, that's sort of the vibes that I got, and I'm sure that a lot of people got when they were hearing about, when people were seeing the reactions to Megan Thee Stallion's, like, update about the shooting. And it's just, how hard is it to just believe her? I honestly, nobody would, like, say something like that for clout. Let's be real here. It's just, it's valid to want to hear all sides, but also, there is zero sympathy in the way people are talking about it. Like, it was basically, if you're imagining, it's like somebody tweets about some horrible thing, and then the first reply is like, okay, I want some proof though. And that, or like, oh, but are you sure? And just, like, second guessing everything to something that holds so much emotional value. And it's just, it's really shitty. And I don't think it's totally innocent. It's, like, valid to want to hear all sides, but also it's just not good faith in the way that it was with Megan Thee Stallion situation. And this kind of relates to this next quote picked out. This is, it reads, quote, and it's ridiculous that some people think the simple phrase protect Black women is controversial. We deserve to be protected as human beings, and we are entitled to our anger about a laundry list of mistreatment and neglect that we suffer, end quote. Yeah, basically this really just relates to everything that she talked about previously in the article and about what she has experienced this year and what Black women have been experiencing for centuries, for years and years and years and years. Like, this isn't new at all. This brings me to another quote by Malcolm X that a lot of people have been sharing and I want to read also. Quote, the most disrespected person in America is the Black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the Black woman. The most neglected person in America is the Black woman. End quote. He said this in 1962. That was, like, more than 50 years ago. And this absolutely holds up today. It is so, so, so evident. I mean, if you take a look at what everyone is, what Black women are saying, what is happening to people like Breonna Taylor and Megan Thee Stallion, these are two instances. They are not unique. They are remnants of such a larger flagrant problem. And people need to realize that saying protect Black women is not just a slogan to get your likes, to get your clout on TikTok, to post a picture of, like, you know, your backyard and then have the words protect Black women or justice for Breonna Taylor pop up, like, you know, like, whatever, like, shut up. She ends her article with the quote, but that will take time and Black women are not naive. We know that after the last ballot is cast and the vote is tallied, we are likely to go back to fighting for ourselves because, at least for now, that's all we have. End quote. Yeah, like going back to the way the vote happened in 2016 with, you know, like that 98% figure, you know, so that wasn't necessarily about the turnout, but, you know, Black women do turn out. People of color do turn out. Like, consider all the quotes I kind of read and all of sort of the talking points I've talked about regarding the article. Like, consider the state of this country. Consider what everyone's talking about. Consider what those, like, stupid aesthetic infographics, like, So You Want to Talk About, are saying. Think about, like, how celebrities are speaking up now. Like, everything is really shit. Black women do the most. And I'm not, okay, yeah, do the most. That sounds kind of derogatory, but I mean it in a positive way. They do so much. They don't get anything out of it, though. Truly, they are so mistreated in this country. And, like, this is how it's been for a long time. And we honestly aren't seeing a ton of progress. Like, we're seeing some progress now. But honestly, we just need to keep talking about these things. And truly, with that end quote, yeah. Because a lot of times in electoralism, people of color, Black people, Black women, marginalized communities, they are used a lot of times as pawns to kind of get the vote. I'm not going to say this about all politicians, but many politicians, like, of course, Republican politicians, but absolutely Democrats do this too, absolutely. And I think this article was just really important because it shows how much we really need to put in the effort and to keep fighting and not just, like, turn in our ballot right now and be like, ooh, good, I did my duty. If Biden's elected, then world will not be in hell anymore. Like, no, that statement is naive, you know? And yeah, honestly, just look up the article, find it, read it if you can. I would say it takes like less than 5 minutes to read, less than like a few minutes to read. And I think it just really sums up a lot of the issues that women, that Black people, that Black women face, the misogynoir. And I'm just gonna emphasize, protect Black women. And when you say that, mean it. And when you say that, think about what that means. Think about everything that I kind of just mentioned and more. I'm honestly just touching on a few of the most, I guess, read things that I've seen, the most that I've read, because, you know, I'm literally a pretty privileged East Asian girl, and, like, I'm definitely not gonna face the brunt of what I've talked about today. But it's always going to exist, and we need to keep fighting it regardless. And sort of in the broader idea of, like, feminism and stuff, include Black women in your feminism. Include Black women. Be inclusive, because a lot of our efforts are not. And, you know, I think that this isn't new. You probably heard this a lot, especially now, but, like, I'm really just trying to reinforce that, because even though we say a lot of things, we don't necessarily practice it. It's just, like, the fact that celebrities feel the need to speak out about these things. Like, the fact that you see so many celebrities engaged in voting campaigns, that people are speaking out, people are sharing their, you see celebrities who are phone banking. And it's, like, you see how much of the shit has truly just been exposed for its shittiness. And you really just gotta reflect. Like, honestly, maybe I'm preaching to the choir, or maybe this is just, like, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But, like, seriously, a lot to think about there. Yeah, today's episode was a little bit of a whirlwind of different ideas, and it did end on a little bit more of a somber note, but I think it's just something we should all be thinking about, because culture is fun. And today's episode kind of was a culmination of what I've really been hoping for with this podcast, with Cosmopolitics, because I know that generally we do associate culture with fluffiness and not being super serious or just being on the entertainment side of things, but everything affects one another. You know, you hear people talking about intersectionality, about the intersections of different things, about how everything is political, everything affects each other, and that includes culture and entertainment. And we need to continue to call these things out, talk about them. And, you know, you can also enjoy it on the side, obviously. Alright, thanks for tuning into this sort of lonesome episode of Cosmopolitics. If you haven't yet, get on Twitter, you know. I'm biased, I'm on there, like, all the time. Most of my screen time is there. But if you do that, you can kind of get that daily blast of what the hell is happening in pop culture or in entertainment just by kind of lurking on there. Vote early if you want to, and if you can, keep taking care of yourselves, especially as midterms start rolling in. And, you know, don't be shy to do some self-care. Scroll through Twitter, watch Netflix between classes. All right, bye everybody.